Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Isn't it crazy that America is turning 250 years old? I mean, look how far we've come. Now, we've got coolers in our sofas, light-up cup holders, and power-articulating headrests. When it comes to furniture worthy of this major milestone, Bob's Discount Furniture has all the styles all of America wants at the everyday low prices we deserve, backed by tons of five-star reviews. Check out the Sedona Power Reclining Sofa, a genuine leather one-stop shop for relaxation with built-in charging, cup holders, and supportive bobopedic seats, perfect for lounging in the AC all day. You can even complete the look with the matching love seat and recliner. Throwing summer parties? The HomeWorks dining set features comfy bobopedic seating and clever storage built right into the table and bench. Or customize your space with the customer favorite modular Bob Sectional. It has over 1,000 five-star reviews, family-proof construction, and wireless charging for hundreds less than the competition. At only $250 per piece, building your dream sectional is incredibly affordable. Celebrate the 4th at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Odyssey and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo! Another edition of the House Podcast. Shout out to, so I went to the Phillies game yesterday. It sucked to be at, let me just tell you. Some dude named Stone Garrett did a thing. I never heard of the guy in my entire life. But I met a listener. Shout out to Antonio. Dude was awesome. We had a great time talking. Also, sorry, the great Dave Shaw was hanging out with Dave Shaw. And we were all talking. And we were talking about the yo and about how, like, how much time and effort I put into trying to match the yo to what is happening with the Phillies. And it was an ironic conversation to have, because at the moment I thought they'd win the game, it'd be a nice little yo and all that. And then I came in, I'm like, I don't know what to do with the yo. Like, I'm excited about the Phillies. They've been playing great. Like, I think things have turned. It's gonna be a more positive pod, but like, that sucked. it was a sucky series. So, you know, that's where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, I know they technically lost yesterday.
Oh yeah, they definitely lost.
Like, if you look at the win loss column, they definitely did lose the game.
Yes, that important win loss column.
But I just, like, I don't really feel like they lost. Like, I mean, like, Ranger was so uncharacteristic. Like, that was not... I feel like I wasn't watching Rangers Warriors yesterday. Mm-hmm. And my only fear with Ranger, and I hope it's not the case, but definitely watching him, I was thinking, like, is he hurt or something? Because, like, all of a sudden, he couldn't get the curveball over. His command above... Like, it looked like when he first came back, which was not a good spot to be in. And I don't know, like the misplay between Marsh and Schwarber happened, and then Stone Garrett hit a grand slam. It's like
Stone Garrett
batting four for the vaunted Nationals. I just like, I don't know, they lost. It was annoying, but it was more like it wasn't a massive like panic button hitting loss for me, because like I just think that on 9 times out of 10, they win that game. Like Friday night was more frustrating for me than anything. And frankly, like the runners in scoring position thing is just the worst, man. Like it is, they get every time they like start a rally, it's like, here we go, double play or weak pop up to the shortstop / third baseman or like strikeout. And it's like, are you guys freaking serious? Like on Friday night, they had, in the sixth, they had runners on first and third, no outs, and couldn't score.
Yep.
And then Bohm led off the next inning with a double, and he didn't get in. And then Sunday, I mean, they grounded into at least three double plays,
three.
And a couple of them, I think in the seventh and eighth, they had first and second with no outs. Yeah. And it's like, it was a series of shooting yourselves in the foot. But there's a part of me that's also like, they should have lost 2 or 3 to the Mets. So this is like nature healing itself in a way, because there's no way they should have swept more than they should have lost 2 or 3. I mean, like Friday was atrocious, just atrocious.
Well, they didn't show up.
Yeah. Well, they clearly didn't show up.
Yeah.
And then Saturday was like, they got their frustrations out.
They were like, frankly, oh, we didn't show up yesterday. Let's show, this is stupid. We're way better than that. Yeah.
Yeah. But it bothered me
a little bit. Spread it out a little bit.
Well, it just bothered me like now you're hitting a grand slam. You know what I mean?
It's like a 19 to make it 19 to 1 at the time or whatever, like, it was. Like, really? Like, you know, really? Come on, man. Like,
save that for Sunday.
Yesterday. Yes. Or Friday. Either of those games, that would have looked real nice. You know?
Yeah. So
or one of the other, like, you know, maybe save one of Alec Bohm's home runs for one of the other games or Castillo.
4 months. Save the Alec Bohm home run for another month. So frustrating weekend. Some positives. I mean, Saturday was a lot of fun, even though, like, again, it was you didn't have to. Like, I'm glad they won 19-4, but it's like
you didn't have to.
It's like congratulations on beating up on bad pitching coming in and just looking to step on a throat, I guess. But I don't know. Like, it was my whole feeling right now is like it was just a blip in the radar. I think they've been playing pretty good baseball. I think they've been finding more ways to win than lose. And I thought the Cup Series is obviously big. I mean, I know we didn't talk after the Cup Series, but I mean, they just went out and swept the Cubs in Chicago, a much better team than the Nationals, obviously. And I just, you know, I think that the toughness that they've showed on the road and the winning 9 straight, I legitimately think they just came home and thought they could just roll over the Nats. And then Sunday kind of happened. They're like, oh, bleep. Like, we might actually lose this game. And then they actually did. And it felt a bit look-aheady. Like, they were on the road. They come back for a random 3-game series at home.
Yeah, it is weird. It's a weird scheduling thing.
Yeah. And then, bang, now they're in Florida for the rest of the week.
It's the best team in baseball. And then the team that's, you know, directly ahead of them in the division and in the wild card and all that. Yeah.
I think the Rays are 2.
Are the Braves past them now?
The Braves are just freaking. Yeah, I'm not even talking about record wise.
I'm assuming. Oh yeah, I was strictly talking record, but yeah. Oh, I think the Braves are definitely. I mean, they're 21-5 in their last 26. Let's look real quick. No, you're right. Well, so the Rays still have the most wins in baseball, but not technically the best record. So
yeah, well, it's just like, I mean, with the Braves. So, and I hate to have to give them props because obviously
oh,
we
yeah,
hate.
It's not like we haven't done that the last few years.
Never. Where, yeah, we've never said, hey, I want to be like the Braves.
Biggest heater we've seen an organization be on in like ever. Yeah.
Never. Who's on a, real quick, who's on a bigger heater right now, the Braves or the Eagles?
That's a great. I mean, the Braves.
It's probably
the Braves. At least, we're just talking still. Development, drafting, signings, like unbelievable. Man.
It's insane. It's insane. But well, I guess, and they didn't have a four. They didn't have like a 60-win season mixed in the last 5 years like the Eagles
yes,
did.
Exactly.
They had a yeah, four-win right. season. Yeah, right. But you know the Braves. Imagine the 60-win Braves season. I don't think I'm ever going to see it again in my life, frankly.
Dude, the Braves. Yeah, honestly, I was just going to say it, but like it is. I like they're the most regular season wise, the most consistently great team of my lifetime. Like they have to be, right?
Oh, of your lifetime. Yeah. I mean,
they have to be. They won 14 straight or whatever. And now they're just doing it again. Like they have to be. Like I'm just saying off the top of my head without really thinking about it, but like I feel like they have to be.
Well, the last 10 years, it's like them and the Dodgers.
Well, then, and then think about it. My entire childhood was them.
Yep.
It's like from 91 on, it's like, oh, Braves for 14 years or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Our entire lives, like, the Braves have just been freaking awesome. Like,
it would essentially be like if the Cowboys didn't waste the last, like, 25 years.
Exactly.
You know? And, like, we're just but damn it. You know what I mean?
Totally.
But the Braves, and heading into the series against the Marlins, The Marlins starters in the seven starts before the Braves series had a like 0.34 ERA or something, like something stupid like that. And they face the Braves and it's like, bang, who cares?
Perez, everyone's like, wow, can't wait to see this kid pitch six and he gets through one out. You got one out. The dude got one out in the baseball game. Gave him six runs. It was like over. All right.
But regardless,
like they are right now. They are a. They jump on you, man. They jump on you, that team.
Yeah, well, until the postseason. And then Phil's time to shine.
You know, if it Phil's, you know.
One for one in their last playoff series games.
They were in both those games. They should have won them.
Yep.
Blame Rob for one of them.
Yep. All right, but yeah, it's like it's – This is it felt like a this weekend kind of felt like a get me to Tampa, get me to Miami, and let's show how good we are. Hopefully that's where they're at, because like everything that they had been like doing better the last 2 weeks, they just went back to their May style of baseball this weekend against the Nationals, where it's like, oh, runner scoring position, we're not going to play smart baseball. We're not going to have consistent at bats game to game. Pitching was mostly fine. Besides like Ranger, the pitching was mostly fine. Wheeler wasn't great, but it was 11-1. He's probably just trying to get through it. So Chris Sanchez.
Buddy, he was great.
Yeah, and it's so funny. So essentially, guess what they told Chris Sanchez was what they told.
Four strikes, right?
Yeah, but I know it sounds simplistic, but like if you have. They told the same thing to Jose Alvarado because his stuff just moves so much where it's just like, hey, if you throw it down the middle, it's going to move so much that the hitter's probably not going to be able to barrel it up anyway. So just focus on the middle and let the cutter cut, let the sinker sink, and I guarantee you get better results. And obviously, Chris Sanchez's stuff is not Jose Alvarado's, but it moves a lot the same way. I think Cotham was talking about how like the sink, and it was an Alex Coffey's piece, the sink on his fastball is like one of the highest in all of the league. So it clearly is a pitch that he can manipulate and move a lot. But if you're Chris Sanchez and you have that slider that can come in to righties or away to lefties, and then you have the sinker that moves a ton, coupled with the changeup that can be, you know, thrown whenever, like if you just focus on throwing it down the middle, you're going to be better, because rather than nibbling around the strike zone and trying to be fine and trying to hit the corners, like you're going to end up having more base runners and having more guys, you know, in scoring position because you're just walking more people. Whereas if you just focus in the middle, like, sure, maybe you allow a home run or whatever, but it's harder to believe that things are going to snowball like they have for Chris Sanchez in the past if he's just in the strike zone. If you're just in the strike zone and let your stuff play, I guarantee you have better results. You don't have the command of Ranger. Like, Ranger's a guy that can dot both sides of the plate unless he's playing the Nationals in a random hot-ass Sunday game. But he's mostly a guy that can dot both corners and throw a changeup wherever and mix and flip a curveball. If Chris Sanchez can just focus on being down the middle I mean, it's certainly a plan that can work for him, and they don't need him to be great. They just need him to be good and serviceable and give him five innings. That's all they need.
Yeah, it is funny how it's completely flipped the narrative. I mean, we were early out on the, hey, maybe want to trade for a hitter early on. And now that we're, you know, we're getting to the point where everyone's like, oh yeah, like team needs a bat, huh? Like we're kind of at that point. I want to get to that in a sec quickly though, because it has been, you know, look, it was a bummer of a series and there's not a ton to say. I do think it was a letdown series. You know, human beings.
There it is. There, everything's fine. They're human beings.
I didn't think about the weirdness scheduling wise. Like just, I didn't think about how it's like kind of just a home series just dropped in there. Super weird like that. It is strange. And then on top of that, you know, the weird 6:05 game on Friday, it's just kind of like an off schedule. So, and then again, and, the team that, know, that they owned last year. So I think, you know,
and Shaq was there, you know,
Shaq was there. You're right.
Shaq was just randomly there. Dealing like
thunder.
It's okay though. Cause Shaq said they're going to win the World Series. So I feel happy.
It makes me feel good.
Could you imagine if Shaq was like, yeah, you know, I'm honestly, the way the Braves are playing right now, like it's going to be tough to beat them, you know? Like, if you start giving like real analysis, like he's on, you know, like NBA Tonight or whatever the show is. It would be but
amazing.
Like,
amazing.
Yeah, it's not the NBA. Sorry.
I wouldn't put it past him. I wouldn't, but Shaq could do anything. That
if he's just like,
superstar.
He's like, listen, I know I'm wearing Philly stuff. I know I'm at Citizens Bank Park, but have you seen the way the Braves are playing
like,
recently?
Guys, I got to be real, okay? I know I'm DJing here tonight, but like, the Braves, man, they're really good.
You think you're gonna beat them again in the postseason?
You guys have seen Acuna play, right? I mean, okay.
Dude, hold on. And I hate that. I mean, are we a Braves podcast now? No,
we're a Rays podcast.
We are not this week.
It just rhymes and rhymes. There. No, we're not this week.
Right. We are absolutely not this week. But Acuna, Hold on.
He's on pace for like 40, 60 something season.
Dude, he's already
for like a 40, 60 season.
He is one stolen base away from 40 at the halfway point
40,
of the season.
80, excuse me. So he's got 21 home runs. He's like on pace for a 40, 80 season practically.
Has there been?
Of course there hasn't been a 40, 80 season. Of course not. There's barely been 40, 40 seasons. It's like Bonds and Canseco and like someone else, I think. Like, no, it doesn't happen. That's like, we don't curse on this pod. That is like all the bleep, 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 bleep. That's what I want to say. Like, that's what that is. Like, it is just craziness. Like,
you're telling me that he could be the one player, maybe in the history, he's not in the history of baseball, but one player that would have he'd be the only answer in one of the corners of the immaculate.
Yeah, theoretically. Yeah, I think it's certainly possible. Again, like
it could be a 40. I mean, even if he doesn't do 80, I mean, 40, 60.
40, 70. I don't think 40, 60. I don't think any of that stuff's happened. I don't know for sure, but I don't think any of that stuff seems
like he's recovered. Seems like he's recovered from the ACL injury.
Yeah, he's doing just fine. Yes, yes. All right. I got to quickly, before we get to the other stuff I want to talk about. I mean, you know, we're not really a pat ourselves on the back type of podcast.
We would never do that.
Not really what we do, but you know, you should pat yourself on the back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's
no big deal. The night the Phillies lost the World Series, no big deal.
It's about time I could, you know, luck into one. You know, I don't really get many things right. You know, and I'm not one to make it about me when I do get things right.
Never.
But and it's really
about you. See, I made it about you.
Right.
You
know? I think it's honestly more of a credit to both of us that all offseason was like, dude, Cassie's going to be fine. Like Cassie's going to be good. Bat him four and just let him kind of cook. And the guy's an all-star. And he's just been like every time, because I still have that little bit of fear. It's like, I'm like, oh, here we go. He chased out of the zone. Oh, no. Yep. But then like his next at bat, he ropes a double down the left field line. And it's so much fun having like a peak Castellanos season, because it's not just the power, which is starting to come, by the way. I think
it is, but he's up to like 11 homers, I think, or something.
I think it's 7 in his last 25.
No, it's not that, but I think he's at 11 for the season. Like, he's gonna, like, right now he's on pace for like a 310 22 23 homer season. I mean, that's freaking awesome, man. Like, that'd be a freaking awesome season.
No, he does have 7 in his last 25.
So, is he at 11? I think he's at 11.
He's at 11, yeah. So he's 7 in his last 25. He's been He's obviously hitting for a high average. And yeah, so he could be the first Philly to hit over. I think he's the first Philly to hit over 300 with 20 home runs in a while.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who, I mean, Rollins, did he
have, I think it'd be it, something he's on pace for would be the first time since Rollins.
Yeah, I would guess since Rollins MVP season would probably, right? Because he did it over 300 that year, I think. Either way.
Yeah. But he's just been phenomenal. And every time you're just kind of like, oh no, like here we go. He's chasing again. He just ropes a ball his next at bat. So so he's on pace for his, and this is courtesy of Anthony Sanfilippo. He's on pace to surpass 20 home runs and have 200 hits for the first time since Rollins in 07.
Wow.
So he could have 200 hits, bat over 300, hit 20 plus home runs. Like, speaking of immaculate grid, 200 hits was the category today, which was a tough one to get through. So
tougher than you'd think, you know.
Maybe one day we could use Nick Castellanos in that grid.
Who knows?
By the way,
I haven't filled in my Reds 200 hitters yet, but theoretically it could be an answer today. I'm not going to fill them in as my answer. I think there's a much better answer. But
well, there's one answer that 95% of people, and I tried to work around it.
I think I was going to do that one.
You're going to have to just do it. Yeah. And by the way,
Brooks got a lot of hits, okay?
Speaking of today's grid, Brooks Robinson's a total fraud. How he never had a 200 hit season is
I wouldn't have thought he would. I mean, all the Gold Gloves.
Well, I mean, all I hear growing up is the greatest third baseman.
I have not. We people do the grid, so I won't say my answers. But I have a guess for each of the teams in the 200 hitters, and the Cincinnati one is the only one I'm very confident about.
And let me get this one out of the way, because this is yesterday's and one that happened prior.
Mm-hmm.
There's no bigger fraud in the history of baseball than Walter Ford, or whatever his name is. What's his name?
Whitey Ford. Yesterday, category was 300 wins and the Yankees. And I tried to get cute. I was like, all right, I'm going to like.
Well, because now we're going for rarity scores.
Now we're going for rarity. Honestly, shout out to my brother, Peter. He texted me last night. He's like, do you care more about the 9-9 or do you care more about the rarity? And I was like, honestly, I think I care more about the rarity because I could get a 9-9, but I'll go for something that'll get me an 8 or 9 or get me a 9-9 more rare. So I care more about the rarity. So it is one of those things where, you know, you got to take your shots, but then you feel like an idiot because Whitey Ford only won 236 games. Who knew?
And he also didn't have 3,000 strikeouts, which is what I lost on early in the run of the Immaculate Grid. So
legend, okay,
quote unquote legend. Yeah. Pitch for the Yankees, who are loaded and could get 300 wins. I mean, it's a joke.
Outrageous. Yeah,
it's an absolute joke. By the way, I totally mixed up. I combined Walter Johnson and Whitey Ford for a second, and I was like, "Wow, Walter Ford that's does not sound saying. Right
like
at all."
Walter Ford.
It does not sound right at all, and I was like, "That's not even close." But yeah. I haven't had my second cup of coffee today, so this is completely throwing my whole day off.
I just realized that, I basically woke up and recorded with you.
Dude, it's 10. Like, what are you talking about? I was up at 6:30.
One day to sleep in. I didn't wake up that late. I went to bed.
Do you work in the mornings?
Not on days I'm off. Yeah. Oh, I got it. Yeah, that's good. See, that's how out of it I am. The plan was stay up late tonight, then go to bed early tonight, wake up early tomorrow, and then be back on schedule. The 4-day weekends just screw me. Like, I totally get off schedule. I'm like, by this day, last night's day, I'm like, all right, now I feel a little normal again. I'm going to stay up late. And then tomorrow it's going to be a disaster. And then Monday or Wednesday, whatever, I'm going to feel like crap. So that's how it works.
If we move to 3-day work week or 3-day weekends, would you rather have off the Friday or the Monday?
It's a great question. I think our whole conceptualization of the days would change as a result. But I think Mondays is probably the choice, right?
Right.
Because Fridays are already fun anyway. Because you're like, oh, it's Friday. You know, and then you get Monday off. And then it's like, oh, I'm closer to Friday by the time I go back. So, yeah.
But then poor Tuesday gets lumped in with being
Tuesday
the new Monday.
Tuesday becomes the new Monday, which is a really tough break for Tuesday. And Monday, what a revelation for Monday, though. After all these years of being the, you know, crappy Monday. Oh, it's a Monday.
Ugh.
Monday's rejuvenated. Monday is like, it's like a whole new era for Monday.
Ugh! Got a case of the Mondays.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah, you're damn right. I do.
I'm sorry to anyone who says this, because a lot of people say this. A lot of people do. This is like when I did my. I always feel bad when I rip people who a lot of people say it, but like, We don't need to say Happy Monday anymore. It sucks. No one wants Happy Monday. Like, no, it's not a Happy Monday. It's freaking Monday. Like, no, it's just a Monday. Say, hey, how you doing? Yeah, it's Monday. Let's move on with our stupid day so we can get through the day so it's Tuesday.
Which
you
know, always...
Would you agree with me on that? When people say Happy Monday to me, I'm like, okay, yeah. Sure.
Well, it's always corporate people. I mean, it's a very corporate kind of joke to make because obviously they have, you know, no sense of reality.
Yes.
But I would follow that up with I hate Friday Eve when people say Happy Friday Eve or Thursday. Get out. Get out. Yeah. Or
not,
happy
honestly, outside of like, and again, I'm not, you know, Christmas isn't my favorite holiday, but outside of like Christmas Eve, like no Eves, period. Like enough with Eves.
Well, thanks. What about Thanksgiving Eve?
Kinda, I guess. Not really.
And get back to your roots.
Super Bowl Eve? I don't know.
No. Thanksgiving Eve, Halloween Eve, Mischief Night.
Halloween Eve is Mischief Night. It's not called Halloween Eve. Things can be before something and not have to have Eve.
What about opening day Eve?
That's a good one. Okay.
What about trade deadline Eve? What about MLB draft Eve?
You won, not a me one.
Hold on. What about Fry-yay?
Oh, actually, I'm okay with Fry-yay.
Yeah, I feel like you're a Fry-yay guy.
Fry-yay is good. Fry-yay is because Fry's the best day. I love Fry. Oh, God, you know how much I love Fridays. Fries are my day. Just love them.
Well, that's love a new take. That's a new take.
It's the only time I get. Friday nights are like the only time I actually feel like I have off. That's my general. Why I love Fridays so much.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? Well, you know what's funny is we did this whole thing, and the whole thing was to set up that you said that Nick Castellanos would make the All-Star team after the World Series that night when it ended last year, and we shared the couple stuff, but we never actually did that. That sentence there that explained why we were patting on the back never actually got said. So that's why we were patting on the back. So it's good.
Well, I think the biggest takeaway from this podcast, at least today so far, is that there's no bigger professionals when it comes to hosting a podcast and making sure we stay on track talking about the baseball team than us. Like we are by the book podcast hosts. But
that's why we're here.
Yes, Nick Castellanos, an all-star. Yes, I said it at the end of the Phillies lose the World Series.
Like, I don't know how your mind could even think ahead in the moment, and yet you found it inside to dig deep and make a proclamation, and you deserve to be patted on the back.
Thank you. Well, and it's so funny because I had to dig to go find it yesterday because I knew it was at the end, but I wasn't sure if it was like the last thing we said, which turned out it was. It was like the most depressing podcast. Like it was such a sad podcast, dude. It was just like I was sitting there and you could just see my eyes glazed over in sadness. And my whole like attitude was basically, it was just like, yeah, whatever. I mean, they lost, like
you
this
were
sucks.
Particularly, especially that night. And I think we kind of like inverted a little bit as it went on. But that night you were pretty much like your whole tone. I remember it. Like, I don't need to watch it. I remember it was basically like, well, it's really hard to get back to the World Series. So, like, we're probably screwed. Like, that was your whole, you're like, that sucked. And, like, we're probably screwed. Your whole vibe.
It was just like, well, and you're like,
World Series, we might never get back.
Like, yeah, and of course, you're Mr.
I'm
positive.
I'm trying to make it a little more Bob. Like, you know, I believe in these guys. They just
have.
I believe in them. But, you know, they. You just have vivid memories of you just
like, yeah, I was just I think I said at one point that might have been Bryce's best chance to win a World
Series. I think you did. Yeah, which is such a devastating line to say, like just for that to come out of your mouth is just soul crushing, like just tough stuff.
Well, at least they're following it up with inspiring baseball.
Oh yeah, all season long they came out of the gate strong, just like we said, two more wins, a mantra. And, you know, then they just like the Braves, just pacing with the Braves, you know, going 22-4 in months or whatever the hell they did, or 22-5. And what, like, what is that? How did the Phillies go 18-9 or whatever in a month and lose like five games to a team? Like,
no, I know. And like 18-9 is like winning 18 games in a month is really, really good.
The Phillies were outstanding this month, like all kidding aside and all that. And this series sucked, but like the Phillies came into June absolutely needing to like kind of save their season and certainly right the ship. And they did it and they deserve a ton of credit for it. But like the Braves are just like
They're a wagon. I don't know what to tell you. Like, they're just a wagon. Yeah. And I think, and I feel like a lot of people are already there. Like, we don't have to do the Braves, like, the division thing. That gets over.
It's done. We said before the season, we're like, we're going for the wild card. All right, guys.
No bigger wild card guys at this point. And at this point, if we're being completely fair and honest, I just want the third wild card again.
Well, because dude, I told you, like, if you look, three of the final four teams last year were wild card teams. Like,
well, it's not only that,
too, getting hot and having to fight your way in and all that.
But it's not only that. I mean, they'd be facing either the Reds or the Brewers in the first series.
Great call. Yes.
Like, would I rather want?
Yeah.
Like,
give me the
Yes, that's what we did last year. Oh, let's follow the blueprint.
Duh, this is such a no-brainer.
What are we doing here? Can we focus on the task at hand here and follow the blueprint? We already got to almost seven games under 500. We didn't fire the manager this year because he's the manager of the All-Star game, and that would have been an awkward setup.
It would have been hilarious. That would have been some. That setup. Is fun, though. You know, that's fun that he's going to be there. I forgot about that. Like, I dig that. It's been a long time since we had our manager manage the All-Star game. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, obviously, first since Charlie. But, yeah. So, listen, give us a third wild card. Let us, you know, hopefully beat the Reds or Brewers. And then we just do this whole thing over again. You know, I don't need a home playoff game in the first round. You know, just
we'll see. The other one's even more special.
You know? Exactly right. All right. Exactly right.
Last thing before we look ahead, and then we'll get to the take back. But quickly, Derek Hall returned yesterday. Clemens sent down. Obviously, Derek Hall didn't do anything yesterday, but.
He almost took off. Brandon Finnegan's head.
He did.
It's actually the second hardest hit ball of the season.
Was it really? Oh wow!
Yeah, watching on TV.
When you were there, it was hard. Where I was sitting, like I could not really tell that it was hit that hard.
Dude, I heard it so vividly through the TV.
Wow.
You can tell when a ball is just touched.
Oh, of course.
I mean, I heard it. It was the second. Schwarber hit a ball 113 earlier this year. That ball was 112 miles an hour off the bat.
Look, and Hall was hitting pretty well in the minors before coming up. I think, you know, we all wanted him up. They need at least the threat of some power there. And I think it gives him a chance now a month before the deadline to kind of see what he's got before they decide what they go do. Your thoughts on Hall coming back up? And I mean, like Clemens going down, I suppose, with it. Not a big surprise, but there were a lot of people who were upset, even though he's been horrible for a month.
Like, I was so shocked at the way that the Cody Clemens thing was talked about. It's like, oh my gosh, he's done such a great job. And it's like
he's like, have you watched last month of baseball? He did a great job for the first month and a half, 2 months. It was great. It was awesome. He's been horrible, like a disaster out there.
I think he batted 135 in June with no home runs.
Honestly, that sounds high. If you had asked me to guess his batting average in June, I would have guessed like 0.093 or something like that, maybe 100 or something. Like, that's honestly what I would have guessed.
Right. So he, he was good with the walk-off that happened, you know, against the Tigers. Good defense at first base, but like, what are we doing here? Yeah. Anyway, obviously I'm happy that Derek Hall's back up. I'm still leery of how good I think Derek Hall is. You know, I think sometimes get the ball hard, but you know, whatever. The fact that they have a guy that can hit the ball at the ballpark on a pretty consistent basis, batting like seventh for them, is obviously a pretty big win at this point. The interesting part to me is what is the plan with Bryce at first now? Because I think there's a chance he plays. No, I lied. There was talk of possibly him getting out to first base before the All-Star break.
Yeah,
but either way, it seemed like it was like ramping up to Bryce legitimately playing first base here within the next like 2 weeks. So if, let's say, Derek Hall comes up and starts going off, like, are they gonna go back to their plan? Would they? I don't think they would do this, and I don't think they should do this. But would you put Bryce like in left and try to limit the throws?
I don't think you could do that.
Which I don't think you can do either. So
I would rather he doesn't play the field rather than risk any. Like, even if it's a 1% chance that it's gonna hurt, like make it harder for him to hit or longer to fully heal ultimately or whatever. Like, I'm not doing it.
No, and but again, if Derek Hall does come up and stabilizes first base when it comes to like hitting power, what do you do? I mean, what do you do? You keep him at DH? I don't know.
Look, I lean towards them trading for a first baseman still at this point. Like, I don't expect Derek Hall to be awesome. I expect him to be fine. I expect him to be the kind of guy who, you know, you can get by with, but this team needs more. And like, I do think they're going to try the Arbor thing if he wants to, and if they feel it's safe, because it does seem like he's pushing for it. And I think he probably wants to be out in the field. He seems like, I think DHing, I don't think he loves DHing, even though he's done it for a year now or whatever. Like, I just don't think I think he's someone who wants to be involved in every second of the game. Like, he always wants to be out there and part of it and stuff like that. So I'm sure he's itching to get out there. I don't know. I think ultimately with the way this team is and the way they've stabilized the pitching and the potential for Painter down the road, I just think they need another bat. I think they need another bat.
When 100% they need a bat.
I'm like, you need to go get a bat. And first base just makes all the sense in the world to go get that. I guess, theoretically, if Harper can play first base, then you can get a bat in left field. It opens it up a little bit in terms of your options. And so, interesting thought there. Or right field and move Cassie left or whatever. But so, look, if he can play first base and be healthy and not, again, have zero potential long-term impact on his arm, I'm fine with it. I don't need them to rush to get him out on the field if there's any sort of risk tied to it whatsoever, even if it's 1%. That's yeah. My official.
Well, it's more about the future of Bryce than this year of Bryce. Yeah. That's where I'm totally with you. And just saying, I mean, if we've already gotten all of Kevin Long's guys, mm-hmm. I mean, if we've got Harper.
Oh, are you saying that maybe
we got Kyle Schwarber.
Get on the phone with a.
We got
Preller still out there.
AJ, yes,
Preller.
He is.
Yeah, get AJ we got Preller on the phone.
We got Trey Turner. Okay. And that's three. If there's only one high-priced
Did you just say? I'm sorry.
High-priced future Hall of Famer that could fill a position of need, I think they could go trade for Anthony Rendon. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I mean, listen, I'm always Anthony Rendon helped me win two fantasy championships. I will never say a bad word, but obviously talking about Juan Soto, dude, yeah. Like if they want it, I know this is like fantasy land, but if you're looking at Goldschmidt or you're looking at Juan Soto, both have a year and a half left. Soto, I don't think they seem hesitant to re-sign him long-term, or they're not going to do it. And something seems so weird with the Padres where it's like, they have all this talent, but they just have absolutely no chemistry. Like Machado, I think there's something going on there. And Tatis, like, I don't know. There's something off about the Padres. And I feel like Windhorse right now. Like, what's going on with the Padres? What's going on in San Diego?
Why would he say that?
Right. So I'm just saying, a year and a half of Juan Soto in left field, bring him, like, come on down, buddy. And you talk about filling a need in left field to get Schwarber out of the field. It's going to cost you a bleep ton, obviously. But I'm just saying, for the next month, for the 28 days, Soto or Paul Goldschmidt, I think, is going to be the big debate in Philly land. Yep.
Look, I love it. Obviously, you know.
It'd be so stupid.
I can't trade Painter, and you're not getting Soto without Painter. So, like,
unless you do Griff and Mick.
Well, I would do that. See you guys.
Enjoy San Diego.
I've really enjoyed both of you here, but goodbye. Have fun. San Diego's beautiful. It's lovely. I don't know where the teams are, but I'm sure they're lovely too. You're going to have a great time. Juan, come on down. Yeah, that I would do. Look, I mean, just the idea of either of these guys, obviously, particularly Soto in the lineup, just changes the dynamic of everything. But I look that it's July 3rd, so we have about a month till the deadline. Like, I do endorse this type of thing. Like, this team, it is all about winning the World Series right now. Like, I will, like, Painter, it would have to be a freaking haul to give up Painter, but like, I'm willing to trade anyone. Like, I am all in on this group of guys, this window, this team right now. And so, like, I think they have to be super aggressive, personally.
Well, and the thing that I think changes the dynamic, and I know the Soto thing sounds outlandish, and I get it. But if you have either him or Goldschmidt for a year and a half, like, it's such a game changer, because it's not just if you're trading one, if theoretically trading Abel or Paint or Griff for a half year of Juan Soto, I think that's a massive mistake.
Agree.
But it's the year and a half that you have of them to where, like, what gives you the best chance to win the World Series next year? I mean, it's not just what's happening this year, but you have to think about next year as well. And if you go get a Juan Soto or a Goldschmidt, you still would probably have to re-sign Nola, just because you need pitching still. And then you go, what? Wheeler, Nola, that's Suarez.
Just a lot of money.
I know. I mean, Juan Soto doesn't cost like a compared to what he's going to get.
Yeah.
And Goldschmidt's 22, which I don't think is like...
not that bad, no.
It's nothing like insane. I mean, Soto probably gets what? So he got 23 in ARB this year, probably gets 25 next year. So it's essentially like another $25 million a year player. But like the enticing possibility of having those two as a part of next year's team as well, on top of being on this year's team, is just it's gaudy. It's hard to wrap your mind around. But they are in position, if they wanted to do it, to probably be able to get it done. Maybe not Soto. I mean, maybe not Soto, but Goldschmidt. It's right there. If the Cardinals do decide, they're gonna do it. I don't think they will, which is going to be frustrating, because I think they're just going to be like, okay, it's a down year, we'll be back next year. They're not going to trade Arenado. So I don't know if they're going to do it, but it's going to be interesting. And it's their time to go for it. And if they can get a guy for a year and a half of control, and you have this year's team and next year's team with another high caliber blue chip piece, it's something they have to consider at this point.
Yeah, I think they have to do it. I'm with you. Like, go out and make moves. Add Goldschmidt. Obviously, I would be interested in a Soto deal. I think it is a lot more unlikely. But again, I do think that ultimately this team needs a bat. They need to go out and add a bat, and you know, that's where we're at. All right, take back.
Well, Eflin versus Noel tomorrow.
Oh, buddy, how about that?
It's going to bring all the tears, man.
A lot of tears coming down, buddy.
So many tears. But yeah, the last couple times they've gone to Tampa has just been an absolute disaster. Mm-hmm. So definitely not looking forward to it.
I'm not like so. And look, the Miami series, obviously it leads into the All-Star break too. But the Miami series, like that is a massive, massive baseball series for this team this season, especially considering, you know, the fact that they changed the schedule this year. And, you know, last year they played 19 games against the Marlins. They don't this year. So all of a sudden, you know, these games with the way that, you know, baseball made a big change, and the fact that tiebreakers decide how you go to the playoffs now, Jack. I mean, this used to be a thing where it was like, all right, there's 19 times to play them. Or they used to be like, oh, we have play-in games. Now it's like the 10 times they play the Marlins this season theoretically could decide whether they make the playoffs or not. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Now, they did do this last year, and they took 2-3 down in Miami. But obviously, Miami's on a bit of a roll right now. So
yeah, I meant as much because where Miami is in the schedule.
Correct. So Nola, Taiwan, and Sanchez going up against the Rays this week. It's a bit of a revenge spot for Christopher Sanchez, who was traded for Curtis Meade.
Big time. Yeah. I mean, for him, it is. I'm sure. You know.
Sure. He's going to go out there and shove. Yeah, so very much not looking forward to the Rays series. Obviously excited. Want to see how good they could possibly be, but it's the Rays. It's the Rays. So I've kind of floated this idea, but I haven't brought it up on High Hopes yet. It's a good sneeze, nose. Good sneeze there, buddy. I brought it up on the air. I haven't talked about it on High Hopes, and I'm curious your thoughts on it. But with what's going on with Bryce right now, I think it'd be smart to move him to leadoff. And if you move him to leadoff, if you move him to leadoff while he's not hitting for power, I'm just talking about strictly, like, if he moves to leadoff and then the ball starts flying out of the ballpark, great.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. It's a great
idea. So if you move him there, you have a better chance of getting a hit, I believe, than Schwarber.
Actually, a great idea. I fully support this. The only issue is the Schwarber comfort thing.
It's clearly an issue to them. Like, the Phillies and Kyle Schwarber and Rob Thompson care about it. So, like, we have to talk about it.
I know. And that's been part of Rob Thompson's thing, and that's fine. The comfort thing is fine. Bat him four, whatever. But until get Bryce to the top of the lineup, first off, you have way more opportunities to hit during a game, which is good. And then the other thing why I've started to like it more and more is, like, dude, you can't tell me that part of the reason he's not getting pitches is because JT's hitting behind him.
Yeah, you're
and right. Going from having JT hitting behind him, who has just been, he's batting 200 since May 25th.
Horrible.
Batting 188 with runners in scoring position, which is not great, obviously. But if you go from that to, like, theoretically Turner, Castellanos, and then Schwarber, like, he's just going to get more pitches to hit. And maybe if he gets more pitches to hit, he starts lifting the ball more and more. But at least in the meantime, he gets on base. He is still hitting for singles. He would be he'd have the guys at the bottom of the lineup and the pitcher thinking, oh, bleep, there's Bryce Harper. I mean, at least if he wanted to try it, maybe even put Turner at one and Bryce at two. I just think that part of Bryce's problem in the meantime, while he waits for the power stroke to come, is that JT's hitting behind him. And JT is just not doing what he needs to do right now at the plate. He's down to like 244 on the year. Now I know that it was around this time last year we were all complaining about JT, and they turned into like the best player in the team for 2 months. But still, I'm thinking about Bryce the leadoff more and more, and I just think it makes sense while he's not hitting for home runs.
Yeah, I totally like, you first said it and I blanched and I was like, oh yeah, duh, it makes all the sense in the world. It's a great point.
Thanks, buddy. So I got some pitching things here. I got like four. My overall take is that, like, Caleb Cotham is legitimately a difference maker. And while I've been frustrated with Kevin Long, because my frustration point with Kevin Long is that I see teams like the Giants, like the Rays, like these teams who I know have less offensive talent produce better than the Phillies team with the amount of, you know, high-end talent they have, and I know they made Game 6 of the World Series last year, but there were part of the frustration with last year also was the up-and-down nature of the offense and the not getting in consistency and tons of strikeouts and feeling like they didn't have, like, a plan. So I give Kevin Long credit for what he's done with, like, Pache and Marsh and, Stott. And, like, I think he's that's good stuff. But there's too much nights like Friday for a team that has as much talent. And even like the Braves, I mean, they just rake. And the Phillies are, like, again, 20th in home runs. I mean, I know they hit some over the weekend, but probably in the 15 to 20 range in home runs. It's just, anyway. So Caleb Cotham, I think, is just a total difference maker. Like, gets the most out of not the best talent down there. And a couple things I've noticed recently is that they've changed Soto to strictly being, again, Soto is going to be the second best Soto on the team coming up here soon, but they changed his whole thing to just being a sidestep guy. So he's not, like, lifting his leg anymore. He's still hitting 99, but he's throwing way more strikes. So that's a Caleb Cotham adjustment. What they've done with Taijuan Walker is obviously a Cotham adjustment. Junior Marte, who came in yesterday out of the rain delay, rolls a double play ball, hitting 100. And I was about to bring up how they should, like, scrap that slider. But now they basically told him, throw it harder. And he's averaging like 90 miles an hour on a slider the last couple of outings and looks like a totally, totally different pitcher. So Cotham's, like, the adjustments he's made, the Sanchez, like Christopher Sanchez, what they've done with him, Craig Kimbrell, what they've done with him. I mean, there's so many guys up and down the rotation. And yeah, the Nola thing's frustrating, but look at everyone else. I mean, everyone else, it feels like they've gotten a good amount of the most out of those guys. So Caleb Cotham to me is just, he's just such a difference maker. And it's very rare you can give this much credit to a, like, pitching coach.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, and I think he deserves some shine because there have been a lot of guys who have really made improvements this season.
Well, and the one that I had written down here, and I'm wondering if they would think about this, if they don't want to bring him up as a starter because Sanchez has kind of stabilized that spot. The Sir Anthony injury is definitely concerning because it's the oblique. But if you can bring up, like, maybe they consider bringing up Griff for that kind of McGarry role or for the Sir Anthony role, because Junior's done a good job recently in the close games, but they haven't had someone like take over the Sir Anthony spot and be that right-handed option. Like, they tried Hoffman, they tried Marte. Maybe Marte as he gets more comfortable. There's a part of me that wonders about the Griff kind of bringing him up and seeing what he can do out of the bullpen and whatnot.
Junior.
I know. But whatever. It's
Oh, really? All the years on this pod. Okay. Good.
Well, you said Rendon. That's a different. do you remember? All right, I got two things that I need to run by you of do you remembers?
Okay.
One, do you remember Alec Bohm hitting .434 last July?
No.
Yeah.
That happened? That's a real thing.
That's a real stat.
No,
yes.
Zero. I remember none of that. Zero. No.
Which had a better chance of happening? That by Alec Bohm? Or do you remember Jake Arrieta having a .9 ERA in May of 18?
Was that his first year?
Five starts?
Yeah. Yes, I do. Because I remember a Pittsburgh start where he was like the awesome. The Pittsburghs are, we always talk about. So I do remember him like being pretty good for a moment. I didn't think it was a full month. Like, I would have guessed like two or three starts. I didn't think it was five starts. But that is more familiar to me than Bohm's .434.
It makes me like Alec Bohm yesterday. Like, I was obviously very happy, but there was definitely a part of me that was like, why can't you just do that more often? Like, why can't you just take the baseball and try to hit it for power? He is Bohm at the plate is such like an interest. Like, I just don't know what he's going to be. Like, I have no idea at this point what Alec Bohm's going to be, because he goes through like 2 week stretches where it's like, I'm going to hit the ball out of the ballpark. And then he goes through like a month stretch where he's like, no, I'm just going to be a little single sitter. He's just, I have no idea what to make of Alec Bohm.
Same, buddy. Right there with you, pal. Like, he's an enigma, man. I really have no answer right now.
Because, like, you could obviously make the case, like, but he's also, I mean, he's 27. Like, he's one of those fake young guys.
I know. You know? Think he's like 24, but he's 27. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he should be like, you know, coalescing right now.
Yeah, I mean, we're supposed to be getting this the peak of Alec Bohm.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, he's 26, going to be 27 in August. I mean, like, let's figure this whole thing out there, buddy. Yeah,
let's figure this out there, pal.
Let's figure this out. Obviously, we are now, this time next Monday, we know who the Phillies are going to draft. I think Thursday after the Rays series, I feel like I'll have a longer, I'll have my tiers, you know, I'm a big fan of my tiers,
where it's like
guys I will die for, guys I'll be happy, guys I'll talk myself into, and then the nose. And I just want to call my shot here. Because they always take the guy that I don't really want, but I'll easily talk myself into. I'm just calling my shot. They're 100% drafting Thomas White. He's this pitching left-handed pitching prospect who's been like the best pitching prospect best young pitching prospect for like 4 years now. But now I feel like everyone has prospect fatigue with him, so he's going to go in like the 20s. And I'd be happy. He's probably going to be pretty good. I want bats. Like, I've watched so much Chase Davis. It's not even funny. Like, I want a high school shortstop, or I want Chase Davis, or I want some dope bat that's like underslotted. Either way, I'm just being completely truthful with you, James, and everyone that listens. Like, I find myself having a hard time getting worked up about the Phillies because we're a week away from the draft. And like,
oh yeah, buddy. I'm
only thinking about like a Schwarber replacement and left and the 2026 Bills and future trade deadlines and just having studs coming through the system. It's hard to focus on anything else for me right now, frankly, like at all. Like, it's the immaculate grid and then it's the draft. And
I feel you, pal.
It is. My brain is so mushed right now. But it's great, and I love every second of it. And final thing, and I hope you have the information on this, and I should as well. But our next High Hopes night,
yes,
July 11th,
yes,
July 11th. So
All-Star game action, buddy. So it's not at the ballpark, obviously. We do not have. Do we have the actual info of where it is here? You look, see if you have the info quickly. Shout out to Miller Lite. Obviously, it will be sponsored by Miller Lite, presented by Miller Lite. Also, quick shout out to the Miller Lite account of the week, the bar of the week. Today's Miller Lite bar of the week is the Beaver Creek Tavern in Doylestown. Shout out to D-Town. Where you can watch all Phillies games with a $3.25 Miller Lite pint special. Go to beavercreek-tavern.com. Shout out to the Beaver Creek Tavern in Doylestown. Did you find out where we are on Tuesday?
Oh, yeah. So we're a timeout on Pine.
Yes, they knew this. Shout out to fun place in Huntington Valley.
Huntington Valley. So we will be there 7 to 10 on Tuesday, July 11th. So, like, no right after the...
For your boy waking up at 6, you know, or I mean, waking up at 3 the next morning. So it should be a fun night for me. Yes.
Oh, nice. I'm off that week. Yeah, so great. That'd be good for me. But it'll be like right after the draft. So I'll be hard to concentrate. But either way, it's just going to be more of a joyous affair. And we're going to have a great time, as always. So next Tuesday night, time out on Pine. Come on out. And let's have some Miller Lights and talk Phils.
Draft stuff later this week. Emily has texted me about going to get lunch. So we're going to go get lunch.
Well, it's 11:20, and rule of the pod is no lunch before noon.
That's why I did this. Jackson Big no lunch before noon guy. I'm going to get some lunch. It's going to be great. I do have to post the pod first, but, you know, we'll make that happen. Are you got any final thoughts before we get out of here, buddy?
Final thoughts is, again, like, I don't want to exist in a world in which Chase Davis is not a Philly. He is the next cargo. He is going to hit. Like, there's nothing cooler to me than a left-handed hitter that, like, just hits bombs. So it's like first off, lefties have the coolest swings. So, like, you know me, right? How many times do you think I've thought about Chase Davis hitting a ball into, like, a sea of red? Chase Davis to the third deck. And I see Ryan Howard. I see Cargo. I see Robbie Cano. Like, he is a top 10 talent that for some reason is going to be available in the 20s to 30s, and it's driving me nuts. And I hope these teams don't wisen up. But every year I fall in love with a draft prospect, and no one I've fallen more in love with in this draft process than Chase Davis. I need him to be a Philly so bad. So that's my week. That is my week.
Wait to talk more about Chase Davis later. That is your week.
I can't wait for him to be drafted by the Jays at that 20th pick.
It's going
to
be great.
Besides that. All right, The other thing I can't wait for.
You're just stalling now. Like, I really do have to go. Like, you're killing
well,
me.
Well, I know. But
Emily
final
just thought. Texted me the reservation for lunch. Like, I got to hustle here.
The final thought. Right, final thought. Just, I can't wait to. I can't wait. I can't wait to run through my late round, mid round guys, and seeing your face as I'm talking about Brody
I'm sure
Hopkins
very
from Winthrop
to right now. So it'll be great. We'll really look forward to it.
I will wax poetically about Brody Hopkins from Winthrop. Yep.
Oh my God. All right. It'll be great. Can't wait. Until then, he's Fritz himself.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build.
old.
Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time, they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.